Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
There's no denying that Islam is growing in influence in America. With that in mind, Illinois Family Institute, along with Paul Hurst and the Desplaines Act for America team, recently held three forums on Islam. During this edition of Illinois Family Spotlight, highlights from a question and answer time at a forum held at Stone Church in Orland Park. About the panel of experts at the forums, Annie Cyrus was a child bride and imprisoned as a teen in her native Iran. She escaped to America, became a U.S. citizen, and is now a leading advocate for women and girls suffering under Sharia. Mark Issa was born in Kuwait and raised in Lebanon. He's a former radical Muslim who was inspired by the 9/11 attacks against America. But in 2016, he accepted Christ as his Savior. He's now committed to bring the gospel to followers of Islam through his work with Al-Mag TV. Philip Haney is a counterterrorism expert and the author of the best-selling book See Something, Say Nothing. Mr. Haney, a former officer with the Department of Homeland Security, was ordered by the Obama administration to scrub records of Muslims with terror ties. The Reverend Dr. Wes Motter, the senior pastor of Stone Church, opened the Q&A time with the panel.
My name is Pastor Wes, the pastor of Stone Church, and I want to welcome you. And we are so thankful that we're in partnership with the Illinois Family Institute.
Mark, you talked about your coming to know Christ, and you mentioned you read the Gospel of John. What was it about the Gospel of John that made a big impression on you?
What really attracted me to Christianity is that in my attempts to learn about Jesus after a TV program grabbed my attention about Jesus Christ, so I wanted to learn more and more. So every single question I was raising and I was searching for an answer for, I was able to find convincing answers. So through a lot of apologetics. So I restructured, I really learned the Christian worldview, and starting from God to human, to the relationship between God and the human, to all this dynamics in this relation. So my intellectual questions were answered in many ways through apologetics, but I still didn't believe inside me. There's something didn't connect. Maybe when I decided to start reading the gospel, you know, it was the first book actually I read was the Gospel of John. When I reflect on this experience and on this journey, it's as if God was dealing with me I want to close this deal with this man. Let's close this deal. So he led me to first open the Gospel of John at the first book. I didn't finish chapter one. I felt the Holy Spirit is just telling me, this is me. This is me, just like somebody slapped me in the face. This is me, wake up. You are searching for me since many years. That's just me. I'm the Word of God. Jesus is the incarnation of me as a human that I came down to connect to you in a personal level for you to know me. So all this God with His majesty, in the Gospel of John, I was able to narrow it down to a person that I can look into His eyes and know that He loves me, and He humbled Himself down to my level to connect to me in that level. So the Gospel of John really I just got it when I read these, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Maybe the first 20 verses, I knew that this is God, and that Jesus is God. So I just got it. How? I don't know, it was like an aha moment, a lamp lighted up, and I just got it. This is the Holy Spirit.
Phil, what support are you getting? Who's helping you get the word out? That's what I want to know.
I'm a free agent. I'm actually looking for a team to draft me. But in the meantime, I don't use that as a reason not to carry forward. I just go as the wind goes, as John said, you can hear the sound of it. And support or not, I just go. And I trust the Lord to provide what He would provide along the way. And He's very faithful. Now, sometimes I eat peanut butter and jelly, but He's still nonetheless very faithful. I'm waiting. Meanwhile, I've moved to Leesburg, Virginia, and I'm waiting for the proverbial call. But I'm like the girl who's more than willing to go out with the guy, but I am not going to call him. They're going to have to call me. Because if they haven't figured out that I would be good with them, then it probably wouldn't work anyway. I don't force myself. I would be willing to go back in, State Department, DHS, and restore the information that was destroyed. I have extensive files, and they're locked away with little blinking red lights on them inside the safes of members of Congress. Literally, not with the light, but other than that, waiting for the moment and the opportunity to open that safe up and take that information and put it back into the system and train my colleagues in the law enforcement how to identify, how to interview, how to write, how to liaison with other law enforcement. And the most important part of all law enforcement is to be able to follow up on the cases. But in the meantime, till I get that call, I'm out here on the road sharing what I learned from being inside the nuclear reactor for more than 10 years and share that with you. I give it to you for free. It's yours. Please take it.
David Smith, Executive Director of Illinois Family Institute.
Like here in America, there are a lot of cultural Christians. Are there a lot of cultural Muslims? And what's the opportunity to reach them with the gospel message?
Well, thankfully, from my experience and my ministry, that on a daily basis, I'm reaching out through the TV station and the chatting line we have with Muslims from all over the world. Thankfully, that most Muslims are cultural Muslims for more than a century so far. But in the last, with the discovery of oil in Saudi Arabia and then in Iran, and then the jumping of Islamic radicals or Islamists who really devout Muslims into power in these two countries, Saudi Arabia, and then they have access to a huge wealth. So for the last 60 to 70 years, they played a major role in spreading Islam again between the Muslims, between the cultural Muslims, which led to, in many Muslim countries, many Muslims start being influenced by an Islamic worldview. So there is a battle inside Muslim countries, a battle between the devout Muslims who want to impose their full Islamic worldview on everything in life's details. And this is this differs between each country and the other. For example, in Iran, it's much higher. In Saudi Arabia, it's much higher. In my country, where I'm coming from, in Lebanon, it's very low. There is no Sharia law being imposed on everyone. So it's like selective. If I'm a Muslim, I want to select Sharia law in my daily issues. So each Muslim country is different. And there is a battle between us as believers and the devout Muslims to win the cultural Muslims. So this is one of the positive elements, and that gives me hope that there is an opportunity now in history using media to reach out to the majority of the cultural Muslims to take them away from an Islamic worldview.
Actually, interesting enough, in Iran, about 70% of people are not Muslim. They're Muslim on the street because they don't want to be killed. At home, they're not Muslim. Actually, just so you know, based on reports of our group, meaning truth tellers, as of right now, the fastest growing religion in Iran is Christianity. There are underground churches where they're putting their lives in danger, and they are actually helping Iranians to come to reality of who God is. However, I would say there's a huge number of cultural Muslims in general. You hear the number 1.6 billion Muslims, which is not accurate. But again, for example, in Iran, 80 million population, 70% not Muslim, but they are reported Muslim because of their birth certificate. So I would say a huge number are cultural. From experience, here's how I reach out to them. Because they're cultural, they don't really know much about what they're picked to practice. Ask them to read the Quran fully. By the time they're done reading it, they will be in such darkness that is the perfect time to show them the light. That's what I do. That's how I approach them.
Annie, let me ask you this. You talked about the underground church in Iran. What can we do in this room to help that underground church?
Obviously, power of prayers. Just pray for them, because if any of them are caught, they will be hanged, no doubt about it. Another thing you could do is, if you have access, there are organizations, including like myself, liveuptofreedom.com is my website. There are Iranian organizations that are putting digital information online. So what you can do is if you have access to start emailing digital formats of the Bible, so we can put them up on our websites, because the biggest challenge they have right now is smuggling Bible into the country. That's very hard. Not everybody's willing to risk their life to smuggle. You know, they'll smuggle drugs, no problem, but they want to smuggle Bible in the country. So what we're trying to do right now is to get information. Now what we do is when we receive them, I translate them to Farsi and then I put them on my Farsi section of the website where they have access to. It's like a private part of the website. And then they start printing it and handing it out. So that is the biggest, they need material, they need information. So if you can, you can start putting information or chapters of Bible and send them. If you want, you can send it to me. If not, easily, if you look up Christian Iranian websites, there's a huge list that will come up. They're active all over America. So that would be the best way you can help them.
If you want to stand your ground in the arena of apologetics, address the crucifixion, which the Quran denies, the Son of God, which the Quran also denies, and the Holy Spirit. Quran 61:6 teaches that Ahmed is a derivative of Muhammad, is the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete. Did you hear what I said? The Muhammad himself is the promised Holy Spirit that Jesus spoke about in chapter 14 through 16. Develop apologetics around those three principal points of theology. You're talking the Father who ordained the crucifixion, the Son who was crucified, and the Holy Spirit who was sent to tell us how to live. You've got the basic core of it right there, and if you master those three, you will be immovable. And the gospel is the power of salvation, whether you're radical or moderate or cultural or any of the spectrum. That word is like a key to the heart of a person, no matter what he looks like on the outside. So that's my approach, apologetics.
Following this brief time out, we'll continue the question and answer time with our Islam Forum panel.
People are talking a lot about healthcare these days. There are so many changes, so many questions. As Christians, where can we turn for answers? Well, at Samaritan Ministries, we believe the answer is in Jesus Christ, working in the lives of his people, demonstrating Christian community by sharing each other's medical needs, scripturally, faithfully. Here's just part of Lana's story in her own words.
I love getting the monthly share that I give to each month that has a name of a real person and their real medical concerns and a prayer request, you know, for them. That I get to interact with people from all over the country, just like me, and get to pray for them and know that they're praying for me when I have a need. It's great. I love it.
Lana is just one of over 200,000 members who are sharing over $23 million in medical needs each month. If you'd like to experience what it's like to partner with other Christians for your healthcare needs, and you'd like to see what other members are saying, visit MySamaritanStory.org.
Do you know that the time your children spend in school for 1 year is as much time as they will spend in church in over 5 years? Why would we want our children to be in a school that denies God and His truth? Christian Liberty Academy was founded in 1968 to provide a place that would affirm and strengthen what our children learn at home and in their churches. We have a great location in Arlington Heights, outstanding faculty and facilities, a strong biblical worldview emphasis, and an affordable tuition price compared to similar schools. We provide a comprehensive and accredited curriculum that will prepare your child for college and beyond. From preschool all the way through 12th grade, discover the positive difference that Christian Liberty Academy can make in their education and life. Schedule a personal tour today and get more information at ChristianLibertyAcademy.com or call 847-385-2013.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. During this edition, question and answer highlights from a forum on Islam held at Stone Church in Orland Park. The three panel members at the forum were Annie Cyrus, who escaped from Iran and now advocates for women and girls suffering under Sharia, Mark Issa, a former radical Muslim, born and raised in the Middle East, who accepted Christ as a savior in 2016. And Philip Haney, a counterterrorism expert who contends that despite the threat posed by radical Islam, our national security is being undermined by political correctness. Mr. Haney took this question during the Islam Forum at Stone Church.
You said to get into the fight. You know, what's the best way that we could get involved?
Choose a candidate who's going to stand up for Constitution and sovereignty and support him. Ask the district people, if what can I do? Put rubber bands around envelopes? Start somewhere. Get involved at the local level and work through that way. There's a lot of space, a lot of gaps, a lot of chairs that are not filled within our political structure. That's one thing I've learned traveling around the country. That's if you want to operate in the political arena. You might want to operate in the social arena. If you have a strong heart and stomach, get involved in one of the issues we talked about tonight, human trafficking, female genital mutilation. Choose what you want and start there. Find a group, a person, start one, start somewhere.
Yeah, my question is, what is the most accurate book on Muhammad's life?
Well, the most accurate book about Muhammad's life actually is not accurate. This is what I learned from my experience. The official seerah biography of Muhammad was written more than 150 years of the existence of this figure called Muhammad. And it was written by a person who lived in Mesopotamia, which is more than 1,000 kilometers or mile from where Muhammad evolved. So it's Muhammad's seerah was written from gossips, basically. So asking which is the most accurate, always like I have two approaches when it comes to Islam. First of all, I can criticize the narrative that Muslims speak about their Islam, like their own pillars, which is Quran, and the tafsir of the Quran, which is the interpretation of the Quran, in addition to the biography of Muhammad, the seerah, and the hadith, which are the sayings of Muhammad. So these three pillars of Islam, if we approach them, there are many things we can criticize and denounce within these three pillars. However, it's very important to invest a lot of time and energy, especially at this time of history, to make a lot of research, academic research, to develop an alternative narrative about how Islam really started. Because the mainstream Islamic narrative that most Muslims nowadays believe, I believe it's fully fabricated throughout several centuries in the beginnings of Islam. So it's very important not for us to rely on Islamic sources to understand how really Islam started and what is really Muhammad. Yes, we need to understand what they say, but don't like, okay, but also do our own research and in another path to develop an alternative narrative that is based on facts.
For me personally, I really don't care how Islam really started. What I care for is for 1.6 billion Muslims who are reading the current books and acting on them. And I care for the Quran and the Sunnah or Sirah and the Hadith and the Tafsir that I was raised with. So I would say actually, no, go and read what they're reading. What you meant by accurate, you meant which one is more credited within Islamic scholars. That's what you meant to say, which actually the English version is literally named Life of Muhammad. That is the one that they all approve it's accurate. If you look it up, they sell it on Amazon. The English version is called Life of Muhammad, and you can grab that one. I would say if we invest time and energy into finding where Islam really started from, there are two problems. First of all, if what we have as evidence right now is fabricated, how do we find the fact? We can't go 1,400 years back. Secondly, that would be the perfect tool for Muslim to say, you see, Islam was hijacked. We literally handing them the evidence they need to keep on bombing our buildings and killing our fellow Americans and mutilating girls and selling them to sex slavery. But as far as answer your question, Life of Muhammad is one of the ones that 99% of Imams used to teach from.
This book, The Life of Muhammad, is written by Ibn Hisham. And Ibn Hisham, which is the first book that speaks the seerah of Muhammad. And just what I said, I fully agree with Annie about like learning what Muslims already know. Learn that. But there should be two parallel lines walking together. Learning what they already believe and criticizing it and denouncing it based on their own understanding, but also in case we want to make any attempt to reform Islam for the future generations, is to have another parallel narrative that is based on facts. How to reach that? Because definitely nobody can travel in time. I agree with you, but there are archaeologists, there are artifacts that can have an approach in studying the history based on what they found with artifacts and documents, old documents. There is a lot of documents that are there, but still not analyzed well. The old Christian groups, the old Christian sects of the Levant, they have a lot of resources, old resources, that it can help in developing the alternative narrative of understanding how Islam started.
If you want to study the Quran from a very detailed grammatical way, it's the Quranic Arabic corpus. It's a really, really great website. If you want to study Sharia, you can buy the book called The Reliance of the Traveler. If you want to study the Hadith, start. There's a couple good websites, and Bukhari, it's called Bukhari, is the largest, most complete, not the only one, but it's a good place to start. So now I'm talking Hadith, Sharia, and the Quran itself. The Tafsir, you can look up pretty easily on the web, Tafsir, that's the commentary. You start with that, you're going to dive into the deep end of the swimming pool real quick. But don't forget the Bible while you're at it, because you want to develop apologetics, responses, and pray, because I would not urge anyone to go into the world of the Quran without your armor on, and you need to be aware of what you're dealing with. And I would definitely pray before I just drive down that road without being aware of what's around the next corner.
I would like to address the panel. I know that there are Muslim women, or who former Muslim women who have escaped to the West, who are warning Americans of Sharia, as you are doing, Annie, and they are prohibited from speaking in universities, and they're being canceled. And we have this open border, which the politicians are, you know, supporting. And then we have, this type of mentality. There has to be some type of force, some kind of a power behind this. And I'm just wondering if you have any idea of what's really going on behind the scenes that is causing this total lopsided view of things, which is, you know, absolute lies.
Phil, where do you begin?
At the current time, in this moment, the three major groups that are driving the gravitational force, no walls, no border, no immigration enforcement, and the Muslim Brotherhood is twined in with at least two of them. In November of 16, the Assembly of Muslim Jurists of America issued a fatwa calling on all Muslims in America to align themselves with progressive leftist groups. Are they doing it? Yes, they are doing it. And that organization called AMJA, Assembly of Muslim Jurists of America, is openly promoting Sharia law here in America. It's too complex of a question to have a snappy answer to, but what is the antidote to it? That's the more important question. All the observations you made are true, but the question is, which one of them, don't take it personally, but which one of those in particular are you yourself going to address? You can't eat the whole elephant at once. Find out where your real, true, focused passion is and begin there. Each one of us working together of, for, and by the people. And that's part of the answer. We've gotten away from the of, for, and by the people concept of government, thinking that there's nothing that we can do. But that's just the opposite of what is really true. Find an issue of those several that you brought up and begin to address it. Master your subject. If you're a generalist in this field, you won't get too far.
I got a question from a lady who said, my kids go to school with Muslim kids. They're their friends. The school is teaching Islamic studies. They seem to be normalizing Islam.
As far as normalization, yes. Islamization come with normalization. Because if they come to a Western country like America and just suddenly tell you, you know, this is Islam and everybody needs to do it, you all fight back because it's completely against all the values and beliefs you have. And I normally use this example. Do you all remember September 11? Do you like vividly remember where you were, what you were doing? Do you also remember the shock this nation took? Do you remember the Boston bombing? And then let's fast forward to the shooting that went down in Florida, Orlando. Do you see the difference between the reaction of Americans to the terror attack? Even from every person uniting as a nation to help, to where everybody just put a condolences tweet or a black picture on Facebook. It is, even terror attacks are normalized by Muslims in this country nowadays. We hear about it, we get angry for 5 seconds, and we move on to the next task we have for the day. Yes, hijab is becoming normalized to where let's wear a hijab, everybody, for a day. Remember the hijab day? That where they made students at a school, all girls, wear hijab because they could. Now, here are three things you can do. Number one, when someone like myself, Bridget Gabriel, Pamela Geller, Farrah Prudence, Sandra Solomon, Nani Darby, so many women, huge number of ex-Muslim women, come out and tell you their stories with backup fact of verses of Quran and Hadith, you grab those and start tweeting those out and start putting those on your Facebook and repeatedly put it out. Let them know, even though you're not, thankfully, you're not an ex-Muslim, you still know what they represent. The more you tweet verses of Quran and Hadith and about Aisha and about hijab means if you don't wear it, you get raped, the less likely for everyone to just take their word. Right now, they're hearing one side of a story. It's everyone's job in this room to give the other side of the story. Secondly, what you can do is when they come to your school, to your kids' school, and make it, you know, chapter about Muhammad or Islam or history of Islam or hijab or anything, actually, you have the right to pull your kid from that specific class. So take action. Go to school and let them know that by your request, based on your right and your kid's right, they are not allowed to force your daughter or your son to sit in that class. They can force any other religion teaching on your kids. You have the right to stop that from happening. Number three, what you can do is start a counter movement. When there is a Let's Wear the Hijab Day, you do a let's remove your hijab for a day. No, I mean it. We actually did that. They obviously didn't do it, and right there and then we proved the point that it's not a choice. They are afraid to remove it. When they come and do a let's get to know Muhammad day, you do a counter of let's get to know Jesus day. If they stop you, you can bring a lawsuit against the school. There are so many ways you can counter these. It's just a matter of actually taking action, taking the time off your day to do something. There are legal ways you can stop it, and also, simply as I said, well, it's all right, if my kid's going to know about your kid's prophet, well, let's have your kid know about my prophet. It's pretty fair game.
Real quick, I show you an example tonight of normalization in Michigan. Daoud Waleed, executive director of care, saying, yeah, we practice Sharia in Michigan. We shouldn't even apologize for it. It's normal now. That's normalization. It's happening right in front of us. It's like, I call it saturation, like water into a sponge. That's what is going on. We're not immune to it. It's just a matter of seeing what's right in front of you, disguised like a chameleon in the colors of red, white, and blue.
Let me ask you this, Phil. You mentioned earlier in your presentation that we dodged a bullet in 2016. So we have midterm elections coming up in November. In terms of the threat of Islam, what are we up against?
This is a referendum on the president, and the supposed blue wave doesn't right now look like it's going to turn into a wave, but that doesn't mean that we should relax. Basically what I'm seeing...
They seem energized.
Who?
The left.
Well, they are, but the right is more energized than they appear to be. As traveling around the country, one of the advantages I have is a perspective, and there's what I call a artesian river flowing underneath the country. I saw it before in the presidential cycle, and I'm seeing it again now. Annie and Mark, especially Annie and I, can tell you that things are better than they were a year or two ago. However, there's a long way, a lot of room for improvement. And it really does come back to of, for, and by the people. There is absolutely something that everybody here can do. Pray about it, ask about it, put some effort into it, find a handle of the suitcase, that's what I call it. Grab the handle of the suitcase and don't let go of it and become a part of it. Be able to look back in November and say, I participated in that event. And 20 years from now, kids and grandkids ask you, Grandma, what did you do back in 2018? Well, this is what I did, and I did this, and I did that. Find something to do.
You've been listening to a question and answer time at a forum on Islam held at Stone Church in Orland Park. Many thanks to Pastor Wes Motter and the Stone Church for hosting the event. Plan to attend the Illinois Family Institute's Faith, Family, and Freedom Banquet with George Barna. Mr. Barna is one of Christianity's leading voices. For tickets, visit IllinoisFamily.org or call 708-781-9328. And please support the work of the Illinois Family Institute. For more information, visit the website IllinoisFamily.org or call 708-781-9328. All donations are tax deductible. And remember to tell a friend about Illinois Family Spotlight. Until next time, God bless.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.